Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Tuesday, January 21st, and all eyes were on the White House and what was going on there with the inauguration of Donald Trump, the 47th president of the United States of America. What a day that guy had yesterday. I don't know when he got up. I know he doesn't sleep that much, but I was listening to the news report, and it said Donald Trump gave three speeches yesterday, a 90-minute press conference, signed nearly 200 executive orders, and then went to three big galas, three big balls, and still looked fresh as a daisy. I saw him, and perhaps you did, dancing to his song on the campaign trail, the Village People's YMCA. It's just fun to listen to that song. And then Trump does his dance on that song. He did it one ball with a sword in his hand.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man.
He's made that song famous again. That was back in the day. But it was just a great day for conservatives yesterday. And Trump's speech was impressive, to say the least, how he made bold statements. There are two genders. He's going to put an end to all this wokeism and DEI, the catastrophe of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Anyway, to talk with me about this and to talk about his brand new podcast on American Family Radio is my friend Stephen McDowell. Stephen McDowell is co-founder and president of the Providence Foundation, a Christian educational organization whose mission is to train and network leaders of education, business, and politics to transform their culture for Christ. Now, in over 30 years of full-time work with the foundation, Stephen has trained people from over 100 countries to apply biblical truths in all spheres of life. He has traveled to dozens and dozens of nations in six continents, where he's consulted with government officials, assisted in writing political documents, advised political parties, and started Christian schools and biblical worldview training centers. He has co-authored over 30 books, videos, and training courses, including Liberating the Nations and America's Providential History. Now, Stephen holds a master's degree in geophysics and served for several years as a pastor and has been an adjunct professor at Regent University. And I might add, he's a really good golfer. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be with you, Jeff.
Well, I was reading your bio, Stephen, I was commenting to Randy about you have a master's degree in geophysics, but your expertise is in American history. Is that not right?
Well, that's true. God had other plans. You know, I have a BS in physics, a master's degree in geophysics, and God seemed to take me a different way. So after I finished my master's, God called me into the ministries. I pastored churches about 6 years. And then about 41 years ago, I saw the need for Christians to be educated in a biblical worldview. And so I resigned my pastor and helped to start the Providence Foundation and have led it for the past 41 years. And so, you know, that's the way God works, that God directs our steps in order to accomplish the plan and purpose he has for us. And I've certainly been happy that I've been able to enjoy the calling God has upon my life and see him produce good fruit in many different ways.
Amen.
And by the way, thanks for calling me a good golfer. I don't know if my brothers would call me that, but I try. I enjoy it.
Well, you can hit the ball a long way, and I think you still score pretty well. So I was impressed when I played with you. Well, you know, Stephen, I had John Lennox on the program a year or so ago, and I had commented to him that normally when guys are science-oriented, they're not necessarily English-oriented, English and history. So science and math seem to be what some guys gravitate toward, and English and history others. And then he's a crossover. obviously as a scientist and English and history, you're obviously a crossover. Between those two realms in a person's brain, which one do you gravitate toward?
Well, of course, when I was in school, I went to government schools. I did not learn a providential view of history or of any field of learning. And because of that, it was kind of dull and boring. It's just you memorize some dates, and there's not really much you can learn from history. But when I began to recognize God is the author of history, and that he, as Daniel says, does according to his will in the host of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, he's the one that is at work in the events of history to using man and nations to accomplish his plan and purpose. That makes history exciting. Mm-hmm. That gives history not just a purpose and a meaning, but it's the backdrop for which redemption has come to mankind. And so if you don't understand history, you can't really understand God's plan and purpose at all. Of course, the Bible is history. It's full of history, providential history. Noah Webster, when he wrote his United States history book, first published in 1832, he began with creation because he understood you can't understand America and where we are and what God's doing. You can't understand the events of today or yesterday when Trump was sworn in if you don't understand all that God has been doing and intends to do in bringing liberty to mankind. So in a way, it makes it exciting, makes it good, it makes it, where you can it's a rational approach. There's cause and effect in history, as there is in science. Science is there's a cause, there's effect. We don't know all the reason for the causes of physical science. We don't even know how gravity works, really, but the scripture tells us, because God pulls all things together. Mm-hmm. We see the same God manifesting himself in science. He also manifests himself in history. And so in a way, they're really, linked. And mm-hmm. the greatest scientists of all times were, most of them were Christian biblical men like Isaac Newton and Kepler and on and on. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense.
Yeah. Very good. Well, okay, so you're starting a new podcast that comes out today. It's released today on American Family Radio called America's Providential History. So, Stephen, tell us what that's going to be about.
Well, God not only created everything, but he sustains all things. So God watches over his creation, directs the course of mankind to fulfill his purposes. And so any view of history that denies his providence is not true history at all. So the podcast, it begins today, we'll have a new one every week, presents the real story of America by exploring the hand of God in our history. And so there's, the founding of America is a chain of providential events. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at many, many, many of those providential events to see how God was at work, what he was doing, miraculous things he did, how he shaped and used men to do this. We'll be looking at principles of God at work and stories of how God moved to give birth to this nation as a part of his plan and purpose for mankind.
Stephen, as you look at Donald Trump being reelected, I mean, amazing that he got elected the first time and as number 45, but now to get reelected as number 47. We've heard the arguments, how this guy is immoral and all the things, the skeletons in his closet, convicted felon, all the things that people like to say about him. And obviously he's a flawed man. How do you see him fitting into God's providential history?
Well, yesterday as I listened to his speeches at different places, he made this statement. He said that I was saved by God. Now, he's speaking of the bullet that barely missed his head and hit his ear. He said, I was saved by God to make America great again. Now, he believes in the providence of God. He believed that God providentially was saving him for a particular purpose to make America great again. So he believed in the providence of God. Franklin Graham, if you listen to his prayer right at the inauguration ceremony, he affirmed that. He agreed to that as well. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, some of our most significant presidents, from George Washington to Abraham Lincoln to Ronald Reagan and many others, they believed in the providence of God. They spoke, they recognized that there's, you know, God, someone bigger than man, that is at work directing events because there's a purpose for this. And Trump believes that. Now, even that incident of him almost losing his life, I think, helped to awaken in him a greater realization of the eternal hereafter and the plan and purpose for God. He's spoken of this. This reminds me of Ronald Reagan, as you mm-hmm. remember. You know, he was shot. He almost died. Mm-hmm. And he was drawn to the Lord after that and believed God wanted to use him. And God did help use him to turn America around in many ways, to expose help bring about the collapse of communism in many ways. And so my prayer and hope for President Trump is that God will use him to do significant things. He's certainly one of very good thing that he's standing up for is preserving the biblical family and personhood. You know, when he declared in his speech there's two sexes, male and female. Mm-hmm. Of course, we see that in the scripture in Genesis chapter 1. God created man in his image, male and female, and that the enemies of God, one thing they'll always seek to destroy is the family. The biblical family is the, you know, it's the foundational divine institution that God made at creation. And that as the family goes, so goes the nation. So Satan wants to destroy the family. And there's many ways he goes about doing this. But, of course, in recent times, we've seen him trying to redefine what the family is. It's not a male and female joined together, covenant together for life to be fruitful and multiply, but they've tried to call it to be anything, male and male, female and female, three people, five. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately is an attack on God. So we know President Trump has begun to stand up for life. He might not have the true biblical understanding of the importance of the family in God's plan, as we might have, as we've studied it theologically, but nonetheless, he understands and is standing up for this. So there's many other things in regards to the role of governments and protecting the life, liberty, and property of citizens, you know, that he adheres to biblical perspectives on these things. And if we follow God's plan, it will make America great again. And as we will explore in our podcast, I believe that God had and has a purpose for America, that God raises up nations and has a plan and purpose for nations just like he does individuals. He has used America uniquely in the history of man to extend his liberty and impact not just our nation, but nations all over the world. And I believe he still does have a plan for America. And he uses men, even flawed men, sinful men, because if there weren't sinful men yeah. to use, he couldn't use anybody
right.
To do that. So I believe with President Trump that God saved him to make America great again, and we can certainly pray and hope that he'll take steps to advance those biblical ideas in our nation.
Amen. And we need, as we said yesterday when I was talking to Rick Scarborough, we need to, as Christians, pray for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and for his cabinet that he's putting around him, those people that he's putting in key positions, because there is going to be opposition. The enemy doesn't give up ground without a fight. And so we need to pray for him. One thing is for certain, Donald Trump is a fighter, and he is resilient, and he's a Timex watch. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking, and I admire him greatly for that. Well, we're talking to historian Stephen McDowell. We're talking about his brand new podcast on American Family Radio called America's Providential History, and you're listening to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to historian Stephen McDowell, co-founder and president of the Providence Foundation, and the host of a brand new podcast on American Family Radio releasing today called America's Providential History. Now, yesterday was historic for sure, Stephen, and I wanted to get your take. I was listening to Bill O'Reilly's commentary on the inauguration address, and he said from his perspective, it was very different than most inauguration addresses, inaugural addresses, and he said it was, in his view, borderline savage what Trump said with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris right behind him, because he just kind of eviscerated their whole 4 years. What was your take on his speech?
Well, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it's incomprehensible how much President Trump has withstood in the past 8 years. Just so many lies that were created from the Russia hoax and on and on and on. And that he's fought against these things is astounding. And of course, a lot of the people perpetrating those lies were sitting there right on the platform with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what would you do? You know, that I think he approached it very well, that he didn't attack them personally themselves. It's really more their ideas in that speech. Now, other places he does kind of you know, might say that he's attacking them, but he's pointing out your policies produce bad fruit. And see, this is what the Bible teaches hundreds of times. The Bible is probably the message most taught in the Bible than any other message, is that if we obey God and his principles, we'll be blessed. That's true of us individually, and it's true of the nation. But if we disregard his law, his policies, his principles, his standards, we'll go backwards, as Jeremiah says. We'll be cursed. And so we've seen the fruit of ideas, not only under Biden, but in recent decades, and the bad fruit they've produced. And when government on local, state, or national level has operated in accordance with God's principles, we see good fruit. And because that's what the Bible says will happen. God created the universe to function according to a set of ideas and principles, and if you agree with him, you have good fruit. And so he was pointing out, I believe, bad fruit, bad ideas, nothing good has come, so we're going to turn this around. We're going to release the productivity of the American people and utilize all the things God has given us in a responsible way. We're going to protect the life, liberty, and property of our citizens, which is the first purpose of civil government. Why God created civil government as a divine institution, to protect our life, liberty, and property. And so that's what we're going to begin to do that as well. And so the things he mentioned that he wanted to do, most all of them were in accordance with biblical ideas and principles. So, in a way, obviously they had to assume. I don't know what people, you know, think who have non-biblical ideas when they sit there to think I was wrong and I shouldn't have done this. I don't think that too many of the leftists really think that. A lot of them no. think, you know, I'm right, and no matter what, I'm going to do what I believe. So I'm not sure what they thought of it all. Yeah. But within the speech, I think that he could have been a lot more harsh than he was, if you say. Yeah. I think he saved that from some later remarks, which actually some of his other remarks the rest of the day, he was a little more forthright in that. But I'm glad to see that he stood up for principles that I would argue are biblical, so many of them, and said we're going to implement these as best that we can do. And that's my hope and prayer. You know, it's one thing to recognize what needs to be done, and that's important. Mm-hmm. There's no change will start if you don't recognize it. But then to implement it within a society that has in many ways rejected God. We've fallen from our founding principles. The founding fathers have given us so far that to get back to that, it's going to take a whole lot more than just a couple of years of implementing things. It's going to take a renewal of the heart and mind of the American people.
For sure.
To the extent we bring internal change in people's lives is the extent to which permanent external change will occur. And that's the role of the church. That's the role of what biblical families have to do. We have to instill self-government and understanding the providence and the lordship of Christ and these other general principles into the hearts of citizens. To the extent that we are successful is the extent to which we then will see this permanent external change occur. So, you know, we've got to work with people like President Trump and other, when we have other good leaders, because they're not our savior. You know, you mentioned I've been able to go to over 40 different countries and work with a lot of people in countries of bringing biblical transformation. And I've seen a lot of Christians get excited, hey, we need to influence the culture and get involved in government and all aspects of society to bring change. And a lot of them think, look, if we just have some good leaders, then we can turn our nation around. And I've told a number of people, I said, look, Jesus could be your president and it wouldn't solve your problems. Because the problem isn't from the transformed from the top down, it's the inside out. Yes, we need to work to get good leaders and good presidents. They do make a big difference, as we have seen. But if you don't transform the heart and mind of man, then you'll never turn a nation around. So we have a whole lot we can do to work with President Trump and others who want to turn America around. And if we don't do our part, then there's going to be no long-term permanent transformation.
Right. You know, Stephen, as you were talking, I was thinking about the famous John Adams quote that we framed a constitution that is for a religious and moral people. It's wholly inadequate for any other. Well, we don't really have a religious and moral people like we did when they founded the country. And the Constitution assumes that people will be moral and honest and those kinds of things. And when you don't have that, it seems to all fall apart. Obviously, we're reaping the bitter fruit that from seeds we have sown. Hey, let me ask you this. This executive order stuff, so, you know, Biden had all these executive orders and Trump comes in almost 200 executive orders in one day. In the Constitution and in the minds of the founding fathers, they didn't really set that up, did they? When did executive orders come into being?
Well, no, they didn't set that up at all. Executive orders, really what they began when the chief executive, see, in our Constitution, we have three branches of government, the legislative, executive, and judicial. In fact, every government has those three functions. In our unique form of government, those were divided into different groups with checks and balances upon them. Throughout most of history, those were centered in one person in a monarch or maybe a few in an oligarchy, aristocracy. In the United States, they were divided among the people, which, by the way, is based upon the biblical idea of man. Man is sinful and fallen and can't be entrusted with too much power. Therefore, you have to separate and divide these legislative, executive, and judicial functions. And so under Article 3 of the Constitution, Article 1 gives the power of the legislature, Article 2, the executive, and Article 3, the judicial. And so the chief executive, the president, has all these executive powers. There's not that many. You can read the Constitution, see what he can and cannot do. But he does have cabinet members. He can hire people to help him carry out his functions. And as the government grew, the executive, in order to carry out his plans, he would issue a memorandum, if you will. Hey, this is an order from the president. This is what I want to be carried out. And if it fit under his constitutional authority, then that applied to those people, carry out my wishes. But unfortunately, what happened, in fact, with Theodore Roosevelt, he expanded the executive orders to over 1,000, I think, that some of them especially under Franklin Roosevelt, began to have the force of law. They weren't just orders to the executive branch to perform this function, but they bled over into the legislative branch function and even judicial function, assuming authority from them. And so presidents have been doing that more and more as we've lost our self-government. And so they come to have the power of law in some sense. And so a lot of his executive orders, by the way, I think the first one he signed, rescinded all 90 or something executive orders, maybe the 100 and a couple of hundred that President Biden had issued that were not good. Most of them were just giving too much authority to the government. And so he said, well, I'm rescinding all these. These are no longer applicable to that. And then he issued many others. So executive orders are fine if they're giving direction to the executive branch and all the people who come under that. This is what I, as the president, who have the constitutional authority, this is how I want you to function and act. And that's fine, but if executive orders go beyond the constitutional authority, they're not good at all. And that's where Congress has to come in and hold the executive branch accountable. You're overstepping your constitutional bounds, and we're going to do something about it, but Congress hasn't been too good at that in recent decades.
Yeah. Stephen, how is it in the Constitution, the president's power of the pardon, and you can pardon people who have not even been accused of a crime? What are we to make of that?
Well, that's just another abuse of authority. You know, the biggest problem we have in the U.S., and throughout the world, and has been the case since man fell thousands of years ago, is what I call statism. Statism is the belief that the ultimate authority in the earth is man via the state. And that's the original sin of Adam and Eve, when God said, look, guys, I'm creating you, and there's just one thing, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says in Genesis 3 that they, when they did eat of that, they said, we want to determine for ourselves what is good and evil. Mm-hmm. They said, God, we don't like your choice. It's not good. We think we can do it better. And that is statism. That is man himself proclaiming, I'm God. I will decide what's right and wrong, good and evil, good and evil, moral or immoral. And ultimately, that usually devolves into civil government doing that because they have access to power and money. And so we still have that problem today. We have sinful man tends to abuse authority. And so that's why limited government is a biblical idea. Jesus taught the concept of limited government, but sinful man doesn't want it to be limited. And a lot of times they might be sincere. They might think, you know, I have the best idea of know what to do, and I'm going to go implement it no matter what. And so they use extra constitutional or extra biblical authority to try to implement things. And the power of the pardon that we saw Biden abuse is just that. It's just saying, look, it doesn't matter if I have this authority or not, or if the founders intended it or not, I'm going to do it. I mean, how can you pardon someone who has committed no crime? It's anybody with common sense would think the purpose of the pardon is you can't say, I'm pardoning you for anything you're going to do in the future. Because that then, you could argue, hey, I can go out and rob a bank and kill some people and do whatever I want. I'm pardoned. You know, that's foolish. It doesn't make any sense at all. So it's just an abuse of authority, which is that, based upon that principle of statism, we'll do whatever we feel like doing because we're God. We don't care what the founders thought or the Constitution says or anything else. That's really the root of that.
So can that be nullified? His pardon, like on Fauci, could they come in and say, well, couldn't?
That's an interesting question. I, you know, today, the farther you get away from biblical justice, the more mess you have and the harder it is to undo. And that's where we are as a nation. We've so walked far away from biblical justice, we run into all kinds of things that we ought not ever think about. Sure, I'm sure you could, you could bring it up in some other way. There could be some measure of action. You know, I don't know the wording of the pardons that Biden did. If it's kind of whatever he might have done on any area he's pardoned.
Right. Right.
It seems kind of foolish, but if it's in regard, I would guess, it'd be interesting to look at the language. I haven't had a chance to look at that. You know, if there's limited things that he was, you know, pardoned for, anything and having to do with the COVID and his action in that, or the Wuhan lab or something like that, might be one thing that you might be able to get him on some other area. But... but some people may, you know, I don't know what will happen in the future if anybody may bring that out, bring some other charges or look at him in some other light. But I will say that a lot of these people that are pardoned doesn't mean you can't investigate them and bring truth to bear.
Right, right.
You could have people bring out, say, well, this we found is really the truth, because that is what we need to know. Yes,
yeah,
ultimately God's going to bring justice to every man, but we don't want to hide the truth. We want the truth to be made known, regardless of the COVID vaccine or anything else, so that we, in the future, if we have to face a similar situation.
Thank you, Stephen. We are out of time, but Stephen, thank you so much for being my guest today. Check out his new podcast, America's Providential History. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we are blessed to hear from Stephen McDowell, historian Stephen McDowell, and just encourage you to check out his podcast, releasing today, America's Providential History. Stephen is extremely knowledgeable in American history and a student of the Word of God and very, very smart guy. And so I know you'll be blessed by that and you'll learn a lot. I know Tim Wildman doesn't ever do any kind of American history tours without having Stephen there, because Stephen is such a wealth of information. Well, in this segment, we want to take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I know everybody's been thinking about the day yesterday, Trump's big day, being inaugurated as the 47th president of the United States. I did see a clip of Elon Musk, and I was telling my engineer here, Jay Budzilowski, I said, it's hard for me to not like Elon Musk. He gets so excited about things, and he was very, very influential, supported Donald Trump financially in a big way, and then was there for him, spoke at a lot of rallies. And he's the one that bought Twitter X and saved free speech for us. And spent $44 billion to do that. And this was what he had to say at a rally yesterday with Trump.
This is what victory feels like. Yeah! And this was no ordinary victory. This was a fork in the road of human civilization. Okay. This. You know, there are elections that come and go. Some elections are, you know, important. Some are not. But this one this one really matters. And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
Yeah, so you watch that clip and you can't help but get excited because he's so excited. It's like a little kid at Christmas. But he was very influential. And so, you know, we need to pray for Elon Musk. Just like with Donald Trump, he has a sense of right and wrong. He has an awareness of God. And, you know, both those guys, in my opinion, they need to come to the end of themselves and see how desperately they need Jesus. There has to be that awakening from the Spirit of God that shows you're a sinner. You know, the Lord said that the Spirit would come and He'd convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And until a person is convicted of sin and that God is righteous and they're sinful, you know, when the Spirit convicts of righteousness, He's not convicting you of your righteousness. He's convicting you of your sin, and He's showing you that God is righteous and that there's judgment that comes, sin and righteousness and judgment, judgment that comes for those who die without Christ. You know, you think about your salvation experience. I think about mine. The Lord showed me as a 17-year-old high school senior in my bedroom after I had heard the gospel and heard a man share his testimony. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jeff, if you died, you wouldn't go to heaven. You have no basis to go to heaven. You're trusting in your good works. And let's face it, they're not very good. And you're a sinner. And so when I understood I was convicted of sin and I was convicted of judgment and God's righteousness, then I got on my knees and cried out and just said, Jesus, save me. And He did, because whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord longs to save. He says in Ezekiel 18:32, do I have any pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? Obviously not. Therefore, repent and live. You know, it was mentioned about Cecile Richards at the top of the I think it was at the top of the program on the News Hour for American Family News about Cecile Richards, or it might have been Jenna and Alex talking about it, but I just heard it recently. She was the head of Planned Parenthood, the daughter of Ann Richards, who was the governor of Texas some years ago, and she died. I believe she died of cancer. And, you know, I just shudder to think of her standing before the Lord. And that's true for anybody who dies without Christ. But as head of Planned Parenthood, as somebody who is beating the drum to kill more babies, and then you stand before God and the horror of that experience. The execution of justice, I read this today, Proverbs 21. The execution of justice is joy to the righteous, but it is terror to the workers of iniquity. And so I look forward to standing before the Lord, but those that have rejected Him, obviously they don't look forward to that. You read Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and you find out what happens at the great white throne judgment. The one who sits on the throne, earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire, the book of Hebrews teaches us. And so always remember this. The picture of the cross. You have Jesus in the middle and two thieves on either side. One was a repentant thief and one was an unrepentant thief. One prayed from a broken, repentant heart, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the other prayed from a prideful heart and said, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. One man died freed from sin, and the other man died guilty in sin. One man went to heaven, and one man went to hell. That's just the crux of the matter. You just boil it down. That's for all of us. We're all thieves. We all deserve to be judged and separated from God forever and ever and ever. But if we're like the repentant thief and we cry out to the Lord for mercy from a broken, contrite heart, He responds to us. If we're the unrepentant thief, the prideful thief, if we just want to be saved from where we are and not from who we are, well, you never get saved. Jesus never spoke to the thief on his left that was unrepentant, but he did speak to the repentant thief and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840, and we have Paul on the line from Texas. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I wasn't able to watch the whole ceremony yesterday. I heard Rick Green talking with Walker Wildman about how an imam was also scheduled to issue prayers, but that part was canceled and they just kept it Judeo-Christian. Have you heard the same?
I haven't, but I'm excited to hear if that was actually the case. Rick Scarborough and I talked about that yesterday, how that certainly didn't fit how you would have somebody praying to a false god there. And so, but I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, Paul, so I didn't see if he was or wasn't. I need to look at that today. Were you, this is just something you were told or, oh, we lost Paul. Yeah. And so if somebody knows, if somebody was able to see the whole thing from start to finish, I listened to Trump's speech, but I didn't get to see all the things that followed. So, I hope that's the case because the God of Islam is a false God. And now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews, is the God we worship. They've missed their Messiah, but they recognize the true God, the one true God. They just don't know how to get to Him because Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And if you reject Jesus, you can't get to the Father, even though you know about Him and you have the right view of who He is. You miss out on the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, Pastor. I'm so much in agreement of all that you're saying. I mean, I was watching that yesterday, and I was praying that Trump would come up and take that microphone and just repent before our living God and ask for forgiveness and come to Him as a sinner who needs a Savior to recognize how powerful and who God is and why Trump is in that position. And I just fear that we just put him on this pedestal where he shouldn't be put on a pedestal. He's put in charge by God to direct this country as God sees fit. And I just pray that we will not glorify him over our Savior. And that's my comment.
Yeah. Well, that's a good word. Yeah, nobody needs to do that. I mean, Trump is a human being. He's a flawed human being like the rest of us. Now, he's been put into a position of great power and authority, and we pray for him. And I do think Trump is, I do think he's a very decent person. I think he does have a sense of justice and a sense of right and wrong. And I do think he's a good leader. As Rick Scarborough and I were talking yesterday, you know, just because somebody claims the name of Christ as Jimmy Carter did, that doesn't make them a good leader. Jimmy Carter was a terrible leader. He chose terrible people to be around him, and he adopted the ways of the world, and it was awful. And so, as Rick said yesterday, Jimmy Carter, he died with a smile on his face because Joe Biden came along and took the crown of being the worst president in the history of our country away from him. And so Joe's got that distinction now, and Jimmy's now the second worst. Obviously debatable, but seems to be that way. So, but I appreciate your comments there. Thanks for calling in. We have Ed on the line from Mississippi. Ed, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor, appreciate you, appreciate your ministry, and thank
Thanks,
you for
brother.
The truth. People are hungering for the truth. And so I follow Amir Safadi on his Telegram page, and he said the guy that was supposed to speak was such a fan of Hezbollah and Hamas that they canceled it at the last, there leading up to the inauguration. So that's the reasoning behind is what I'm hearing on that end. And also I hear people talk about democracy a lot. And so can you explain the difference between a republic and a democracy? And I'll hang up and listen. I thank you, sir.
Yeah. So democracy would just be mob rule. It's just the majority wins. And a republic, as we have, it's you vote for an individual and then he represents you. That flows with the Electoral College. The idea that you want to abolish the Electoral College, that just leaves out so many people in the flyover parts of the country. It would just be the big population centers. And that's, because we don't have a democracy, we have a republic. You can win the popular vote and lose the election because you have to win the Electoral College, which is based on America being a republic, a constitutional republic. And so, yeah, you hear that all the time. Well, threat to democracy, threat to democracy, threat to democracy. Well, we're not a democracy, although it's we the people, and the people have, we have a great say. And, what happens in America, it ultimately comes to us. What are we doing about it? My friend Bill Federer says, hey, if you don't like the way things are, well, we the people, get involved. Make sure you vote and vote for a candidate that is going to uphold the values that you espouse and the candidate that's going to make good and wise decisions. And so I think we've had that. We've had more people get involved and good and godly people going into politics. It's difficult. That's a slimy, muddy arena. And as we've seen from Donald Trump, I mean, that's not a lot of fun. Most people would say, who wants to do that? As Rick said yesterday, here you have this guy. He's a billionaire, a multi-billionaire. He could have just said, well, phooey on this. Why do I want to get beaten like a pinata by all these liberals? I'm just going to, retire, have a good life, enjoy my family, and play golf. But he didn't do that because of love for country. And some could say, well, maybe it's love of country and love of self and love of power. I do think President Trump loves the country. And I do think he loves the people. And he wants, like Elon Musk, he wants there to be freedom of speech. He wants there to be law and order. He's got kids and grandkids and great grandkids coming on the way. And so he wants that. He wants to be able to pass the baton to his children and grandchildren and great grandchildren and say, here's a free country. And we don't want that to go away. And so that's why we as Christians need to stand up. We need to speak up. We need to speak the truth in love. As Alex was saying to pastors, a challenge to pastors in Jenna's program, hey, pastors, you gotta put the cards on the table. You gotta stand up and speak up no matter what, and be bold in your witness and bold as you speak the truth in love. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. I'm hopeful that tomorrow Debbie will be on the program as we talk about relationships. I love it when she comes on, and all the feedback I get is all of you love it when she comes on too. So she's a special, special person for sure. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.